The calls for trucks. The plan. The purpose. The mission of conveying the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost, dying, and needful world. Dear friends, if you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us today, turn with us to the book of 3 John. John's little letter that is found in the New Testament, just this side of the book of Jude, right near the end. God's inerrant word. A lot of old country preachers, when they thought about 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, they called it 1-eyed John, 2-eyed John, 3-eyed John. So many of you may want to refer to our text today as coming from 3-eyed John. You might say, well, Brother Lim, what's the purpose of the podium and the altar? Well, dear friends, when the Lord laid the thought upon our heart about the cause of Christ, I want us all to know that we're all a part of the cause for Christ. The foot of the cross is level. We all stand on level ground. And the Lord would have all of us as body of believers to come together to have a purpose in our heart and a desire about us to go out into the highways and the highways of the world spreading the good news of the gospel. But now, that is not always easy. You might say, well, Brother Lynn, do you have difficulties? Yes, I have difficulties. I'm on the same level as you are. The same devil that hinders you is the same old serpent that hinders me. When I thought about the cause of Christ and the Holy Spirit had laid this upon our heart, we thought about the purpose and the plan that God has. If you turn with us to the book of 3 John, you will find there that this consists of four individuals. John the Apostle, who penned this letter. Gaius, a man whom John addressed this letter to. Diophores, who was a church elder. And a gentleman who was a traveling minister by the name of Demetrius. So we will begin reading this morning at verse 1. The elder and to the well-beloved guest, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy word prosper. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers, which I bore witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church with the Diophores, who loved to have preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, hardening against us with malice words, and not content therein, neither doeth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear a record. You know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I shall shortly see thee. We shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Let's pray. Our kind and most wonderful Jesus, Lord, we're so thankful that you blessed us, Father, to be able to look at your word, Father, in this worship hour. Father, bless all of us, Father, as we, all blood-bought believers, are part of the cause for Christ. Father, that we, Father, will take the opportunity that you so wonderfully give to each and every one of us. And let us, dear Father, declare the good news of the gospel before a lost, dying, and needful world. Father, bless us today as we stand. And give us, Father, what it is that we need, Lord, to do, Father, the things, God, that you would have us to do. Now lead us, dear Father, as we worship today. Lead us, dear Father, that we, Father, will be able to declare your glorious name with joy, peace, and love. Thank you, dear Jesus, for this time that you've given us. And bless all of us, dear Father, today, that we all, Father, will raise the banner of the cause of Christ so that the world around us will be able to see your marvelous goodness. Bless us, dear Father, as we go forward, and lead us, Father, in the ways that brings you glory. In Jesus' glorious, holy, special name it is that we pray. Amen. Hold your prayers when the Lord began to lead us here in this passage of Scripture. We see John, the apostle of Jesus Christ, now old in years, writing to a primitive church who was going through much in way of difficulty. When the Lord laid this salt upon his dear friends, he began to remind us of the importance of being able to go and to be able to do and to accomplish the things that the Lord would have us to carry out in our lives. And when I thought about John and I thought about this elder statesman, I thought about his dedication and his love for the Lord and how that he wrote to a dear friend to encourage him. And I thought about that, dear friend. We that have been in the ministry for quite some time, we're to be encouragers. We're to encourage. We're to uplift. And we are to strive to do and be obedient to all that God would have us to do. Well, I tell you today, dear friend, the experiences that we have in this Christian walk are beneficial to the cause of Christ. And I believe, dear friend, that John took this opportunity that the Lord had given him and the overseers of that church there at Ephesus. And John conveyed to Gaius what was needed in that hour. He let not the opportunity pass him by, but he was willing to go and to do what needed to be done in that hour. I say that to say this, dear friends, let us never let an opportunity pass us by. Let us take all the blessings, all that God has given to us, and use them in ways that bring him honor, bring him praise, and bring him glory. You see, dear friend, that is how that the cause of Christ has an impact in our world today. Dear friends, when you look here at 3 John, and you began to convey all the things that is written here in your heart, and you began to analyze it, and you look at it very closely, you will find there that John is encouraging this man Gaius to receive, to welcome those that were striving to be obedient to the will and the word of God. I tell you today, dear
friends. Let us encourage one another. Let us be diligent in our effort to do the things that God would have us to do. Because I tell you today, dear friends, it's of the utmost importance that you and I carry a witness to a lost, dying, and needful world. Because I believe without a shout out that the coming of the Lord is at hand. I believe, dear friends, that it is God's will that we spread the good news and that we are obedient to what it is that the Lord would have us to do. You say, "Well, is it easy?" No, dear friends, it's not easy in any way, form, or fashion. When you see here the purpose of Third Eye John, the purpose of this little letter is this. John was giving Gaius encouragement because the opposition in his life and in his church was great at that moment and time. Are you facing opposition? Are you facing hardship? Are you facing trial? Are you facing tribulation? Are you facing something that's hindering you? I pray today, if you are, rest upon those prayer bones and wage war on your knees and cry out to the Lord, and He'll bless you, and He'll send people in your life to bless you. Please. Your old Gaius, he was faithful. But opposition came. You say, "Brother Lynn, did opposition come from the outside?" No, dear friends, it came from the inside. But when you look at 3 John, if it had a theme, it would be one's relationship. Because you see, dear friends, relationships are so very important. Because there was a man in that church who desired to have preeminence. He was a man who desired to be lifted up. He was a man who desired to have accolades shine upon him. He rejected the word of God. He held at bay the missionaries of Jesus Christ, and he held a high position in the church. I tell you today, dear friends, Satan not only worked from the outside, but you can rest assured that he worked from the inside. Here, old John. Here, old John, the aged apostle. Here he conveyed this word to this young church. He, without a doubt, had a desire in his heart, because he knew the importance of standing with Christ. But if you look here, John would tell them in verse 4, he would say, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You know what Jesus said? He said, "I am the way, the truth." That's what John is speaking of here. He's speaking of those who are walking with Christ, who are striving for the cause of Christ, who was willing to do whatever it took to bring glory and honor and praise to the Lord. I ask you today, are we doing what we need to bring honor, to bring praise, and to bring glory to the Lord? I pray that we are, because the cause of Christ should be of the utmost importance to us all. I care the condition of those that are without. John looked at the church. He was pleased with those faithful soldiers who was doing what God would have them to do. But then he seen how discouragement would rear its head. He seen how the offerings, how that he desired to have preeminence. How did he desire to control? How did he desire to dictate? Oh, dear friends, I tell you, it ain't about me. It ain't about
offerings. This man there in the church, he's seen himself as very high and very mighty. He was bringing oppression on the cause of Christ. He was bringing a hindrance to the movement of the gospel. He was creating havoc in the lives of this church body. And oh, dear friends, it don't take much to hinder us. It don't take much to trip us up. It don't take much for Satan to do what he feels he needs to do to halt our progress and to stifle the cause of Christ in our lives. And I'm thankful today for men like John, who encouraged Gaius and encouraged him to stay in the fort and to keep the faith and to continue welcoming the missionaries and the church leaders that would come his way. He declared that Gaius but to continue the hospitality of doing what it is that the Lord would have him to do so that the cause of Christ could thrive day in and day out. You see, some days it's harder than others, is it not? Some days it's most difficult. Here, John, in concerning the ministry of the brethren, John was very in tune with what was going on there. And John spoke about the deeds of the one who desired preeminence. John spoke of what was hindering that church in that day and time. Oh, dear friend, I tell you today that the Holy Spirit, no doubt, is pointing out in your life and in all our lives what's hindering us from fulfilling God's will that He has for us all. I believe, dear friend, that John addressed this issue because this issue needed to be dealt with. Because I tell you today, he was the witness of this church that would have an impact in the world that was around them. I tell you today, dear friends, it's your witness, it's your testimony, and I have a witness in the world that's around you. If there's something that's hindering and just stopping you from doing what it is that God would have you to do, I tell you today, break free of that yoke, break free of those clutches, by surrendering to God's will. Now, Gaius had an opportunity to do something. He could heed to the word of the Apostle John, or he could crumble under the pressure of Diotrephes. Oh, I'm so thankful, dear friends, that he relied upon the Spirit of God. And know without a shadow of a doubt that greater heed that was within him than he that was in the world. And you see, dear friends, the same Lord that testified in the heart of Gaius is the same Lord that resides in you. And here, dear friends, now is the message. Now we're ready to preach. Now we're ready to share. Because you see, the central focus of our ministry and of our message today is residing in verse 12 through verse 14. For the Bible says, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be with thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet thy friends by name. Demetrius was a preacher who deserved to have respect. He was someone who deserved to be loved. You know why? Because he was fulfilling the cause of Christ in his life. But he, like you and he, like me, faced opposition. He faced hardship. He faced all
entrances. When you look at Demetrius and you look at these three verses found here in 3 John, you see something that blessed my heart. He kept on keeping on. He let not his church leader deter him. He let not the evil of the world sway him. He was someone who held the faith. And John writes, he hath a good report, and that all men, and of the truth itself. What's he saying? He's saying that this man Demetrius, despite his opposition, despite the woes and the pitfalls of life, he was someone who kept the faith, and he stayed the course. And John was saying to Gaius, you support him, you love him, you do what you need to do for him. What are we doing? What are we doing for the cause of Christ? Are we the encourager? Are we the ones who will heed to the word of the Holy Spirit? Are we the ones who will declare victory before the very gates of hell and press on as Demetrius did? I thought about that when I looked here at John's writing. He spoke there in verse number 12 of record. You know what that word record means in the Greek? It means witness. His witness was recorded because his life reflected Jesus Christ. The cause of Christ. See, here he come. Here Demetrius came. Many scholars and theologians think that Demetrius is one who may have carried the letters throughout Ephesus and Asia Minor. He may have carried the letters of John to the churches. Not, it was not always easy. It was sometimes probably most difficult. But John knew that this situation was serious. And John was willing to do what needed to be done. Not only was he going to write this letter in a personal manner, but here in his old age, he said, I'm coming. I'm coming. You see what it's saying here, dear friends, is this. John was going to be a hands-on Christian. He was someone who was going to be willing to go and to do so that the cause of Christ could thrive in a lost, dying, and in an equal world. I tell you today, are we willing to do, dear friends, whatever it takes? Are we? Are we willing to do whatever it takes for the cause of Christ? Are we willing to go? Are we willing to do? Are we willing to receive? Are we willing to encourage? Oh, John, he encouraged, and Gaius received, and Demetrius died. But one held ranks in opposition. I'll tell you, dear friends, there's nothing that we've ever done for the Lord that's ever come easy. Nothing. If you strike out to do something for the Lord and it goes so smooth, it begins to make me wonder. Because you see, dear friends, as John the Elder Statesman would write here, I trust I shall surely see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Notice here how he ends this letter. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Oh, dear friends, what he's saying is this, is that we're all a part of the family of God. We know each other by name. We know what thus saith the Word of God. And now we're to apply it to our lives and to do the things that God would have us to do so that the plan and the purpose and the mission of the Lord can thrive in the world around us. Because if you and I listen to the Theophilus, if we listen to those who seek preeminence in the church, progress will happen.
the ministry will stop. You say, Brother Lynn, where do you see that? How do you read? Listen, there have been more church splits in East Tennessee than you can count. Why? Because Satan reared his ugly head and somebody got mad over the color of carpet. Don't take much. Don't take much. What the Opry's was doing here was when a Besney preacher was coming, he said, we don't need him. When the word of God was coming in the way of letter by John, we don't need that. We need the will of God to be instrumented in our lives in a great and in a glorious way. We're to embrace the things of faith. We're to embrace the will of God so that the cause of Christ can thrive. I want to see lives change. I want to see ministries flourish. I want to see souls saved. I want to see people rededicate their life. Not about Lynn. Not about Pine Hill. The kingdom of God. When you look here at John the Apostle, who walked with Jesus, who talked with Jesus, who is now the remaining soul disciple. The rest have been martyred and died. Here John the Revelator, overseeing and ministering over those churches, didn't write about his accolades. He didn't write about his laurels. He didn't write about the things that would be bestowed upon him by man. But he wrote about the goodness of the Lord. You study 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and you will see this aged apostle write to the family of the church, write to the individual, speak of the love and comfort. Dear friends, that's what we're going to be about tonight. Love, comfort, encouragement, willingness, striving to do what's needed to be done, to be hands on. You might say, well, Brother Lynn, I just don't feel like it. Well, I believe that old John in his 90s probably didn't feel like it either. But he did. Why? Because it wasn't about him. It was about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, dear friends, what hurts today is when one will stand up in opposition, or an issue will be raised that brings crisis, and it seems as though the whole church family seems to fall apart. If there was ever a day and time of unity, if there was ever a day and time of steadfastness and loyalty to the cause of Christ, it's today. Because the opposition has never been greater. The heat's never been turned up any hotter than what it is. God has blessed us with an opportunity today to thrive and go out into this old hellish world declaring the good news of the gospel to the cause of Christ. The plan, purpose, and the mission remain the good news to be the utmost importance to us all. It was to John. It was to Gaius, and it most certainly was to Demetrius. We pray that it would eventually be for the one of the authors who sailed in God. Say, Brother Lynn, do you get angry at those who oppose? No. I get sad. Because you see, dear friends, there are so many in our world today that is missing out. Missing out on what God desires to do. There's no greater joy than serving the Lord than being obedient to His will. No greater love. No greater love has the world ever experienced than the love of Jesus Christ that resides in the hearts and
and of the family. So let us today be obedient to God's will. Help us in our heart to convey the good news for the cause of Christ. You say, well, Brother Lynn, where can I enact the cause of Christ there? Your home, your workplace, your school, your church. The trouble that they had here in this New Testament church was not on the outside, it was on the inside. The love one has for a brother and sister speaks volumes of the love that one has for a Savior. We stand.